Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
So tonight we say it ends here. Our Judaism cannot be contained by an ethnostate, for our Judaism is internationalist by its very nature. Our Judaism cannot be protected by the rampaging military of that ethnostate, for all that military does is sow sorrow and reap hatred, including hatred against us as Jews. Our Judaism is not threatened by people raising their voices in solidarity with Palestine across lines of race, ethnicity, physical ability, gender identity, and generations. Our Judaism is one of those voices and knows that in this chorus lies both our safety and our collective liberation. Is the Judaism of the Passover Seder, the gathering in ceremony to share food and wine with loved ones and strangers. So tonight we...
Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9. What do they say? I know thou wert proudly, but thou art rich. I know the blaspheme of them that call themselves Jews, but they are not. They are the synagogues of Satan. So I say that so that y'all can understand Revelation 2 and 9 and Revelation 3 and 9. Look it up.
They're not hiding, and they're coming out and saying who they are, what they believe, and they're going to expose themselves. As they expose themselves, people will lose their minds because they're not equipped to think that this dimension really existed, right? They made friends with devils they can't see. So imagine these people whom have markings on their bodies, when they begin to see, these markings will start to move all over them. Like horrific movement of these demons. You think they're ready to see that? They thought this was just some simple thing they're doing to themselves. No, there's not anything simple with that. So they're not equipped now to understand the music they listen to brings these shaitans into their home. If they have to open their eyes and see the shaitans are sitting in their home because they're preparing themselves now to battle. We said the day would come when they show themselves, they're now prepared to battle if they show themselves. Because that's their weakest state. As soon as they show themselves, they can be killed. So they begin to show themselves. And this is the purpose of putting their agenda and destroying and contaminating the hearts of people. They're not hiding.
Talking as I came out, there's a group of APAC guys. I knew them because when I resigned, they tried to recruit me. They wanted me to speak at the APAC conference. They offered me bribes. They offered me the whole thing to join their team. All I'd have to do is say that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Well, I ain't gonna lie. Even if you offer me $6 million, which they did, I ain't gonna lie. So there went that deal. But they're bird dogging me going in, and they're reminding everybody, senators, congressmen alike, will primary you. That's their weapon, the primary. They write checks, but so do other people. What they can do is primary you. And a primary is a kiss of death. Primary isn't you running against a Democrat or Republican. A primary is they putting somebody up within your own party and putting pressure on the normal funding channels to drop you. You have to run, you have to burn through all your money to now do a primary you weren't planning on doing because you're building a war chest to run for election against the opposing political party, and you've burned yourself out. It's going to be a dirty campaign. All your dirty laundry is going up, and your other party opponents in there taking notes, and they're going to crush you in the general election. primary is the kiss of death. That's what AIPAC does better than anybody else. They go, we're going to primary you. And the long story short is, eventually, the Arabists were annihilated. The pro-Zionist lobby won. They were victory. They won. They own. This isn't anti-Semitic when I say this. Please don't interpret it. It's just a statement of fact. They own everything. And it's been a strategy that they play. They own Congress. Benjamin Netanyahu brags about it. There's videos about him saying how he owns Congress. He bought them all. They all sing for him. He's a man of such arrogance and hubris. He came during a presidential election and spoke to Congress in a way to promote Barack Obama's opponent. No one does that, but he did it because he doesn't care, because they literally have a blank check. Nobody in Congress said, get the hell out of my country. I would have. That's why I would never get elected to Congress. But if Benjamin Netanyahu came to my house, the people's house, stood up and articulated against a sitting president during a re-election, I would have jumped out of my seat, rushed the stage, snapped his neck and thrown his dead body outside, because that's what you do to people who interfere with your elections. You know, we sit there and go, the Russians interfere. Hell no. Nobody interferes in American election like the Israelis do. They have bought everybody in Congress. They own Congress. But worse than that, and this is where Ms. Reed's statement comes, they own the media. AIPAC owns, and again, this isn't the Jews, AIPAC. Look, I was there. I told you, when I resigned, I was recruited. They came at me hard from everywhere. They come out of the woodworks. I'd be doing a hit at NBC, MSNBC, which is funny enough, 6-month contract I had with them. And the producers come up and they hand me their AIPAC cards. Hey, Scott, we need to talk. Hey, Scott, we need to talk. Hey, Scott, let's have lunch. Hey, Scott. Hey, Scott. Hey, Scott. It is the Jewish lobby, not the Jewish. Sorry, that's anti-Semitic. That one you can hit me on. Okay? It's the pro-Israeli lobby. It's not the Jewish lobby. That's a horrible thing. I apologize for that. It's the Israeli lobby. The pro-Israeli, they are everywhere. They own everything. They run everything. And they all conspire together. They spy on behalf of Israel. There, again, go back and look what happened around the time when I resigned in the late 1990s, early 2000s. There was a scandal where a guy named Rosen, I think, in AIPAC, was conspiring with guys in the Department of Defense to get classified documents out so that he could hand them to Israeli diplomat, the same diplomat that I worked with when I was at the United Nations. He was my cutout to Israeli intelligence, except I had permission to do that. But it turns out he was also a cutout between AIPAC and all that. The Israelis spy on America nonstop, and it was open book, everything. And what I'm trying to get at is, for most of this century, from 2000, especially after 2001, the global war on terror, the whole thing, until today, Israel's gotten a free ride. They don't even have to work for it. They don't. It's a free ride. All AIPAC has to do is open up a conference, put up a sign, and look at how everybody runs to AIPAC. Everybody. Got to speak at AIPAC. Got to speak at AIPAC. Got to speak at AIPAC. It's embarrassing. And literally, AIPAC doesn't hide it anymore. They are literally a front for Israel. But we're not allowed to call the matter it's anti-Semitic. We're not allowed to say AIPAC needs to register as a foreign agent. No, anti-Semitic. AIPAC is an Israeli front. They are literally buying the United States Congress. And if you're an American, I don't care if you're Christian, Muslim, Jew, agnostic, atheist, I don't care. This should insult you that a foreign power has bought the Congress. Look at the new Speaker of the House. First order of business, ladies and gentlemen, when America's falling apart at the seams, homeless, you name it, we got problems. First order of business, I'm going to pass money for Israel. What the hell? That means that America's not even number two. We're Americans are like not even on the front list. So Israel didn't have to work anymore. They aren't bird dogging people anymore. They took everything for granted. And they were on this smooth path to accomplish everything they wanted through the Abrams Accord. So they stopped working. They got lazy. They got soft. And then October 7th came in. And this rage that's been bottled up by people who felt so helpless, because if you were pro-Palestinian, and Danny, I think you're pro-Palestinian, but you tell me, you felt a sense of hopelessness and helplessness as the Abrams Accord took in, that nobody was
I think most people, as you said earlier too, in terms of this issue in general, it was not really in the conversation. Even right after the March of Return, when like kids were getting shot at for like peacefully going up to the gate, like by the idea, even that didn't create the kind of, I think, energy that we're seeing now in response to what Israel is doing. I think there was this hopelessness around the Palestinian cause, definitely. And I think Israel's Saudi Arabia normalization would have been a nail in that. It would have been, because we don't have to go into the itty bitty details, but we know that Saudi Arabia is a huge player in that region. For that to happen would be catastrophic.
Catastrophic. And so now what happens is nobody anticipated October 7th. So there wasn't a front loading of the Israeli propaganda machine. Israel was already in tatters because of Netanyahu's evisceration of basic law, and trying to take control of the judiciary, removing it as an independent agency. And so they're already on the defensive. You have a whole bunch of people going, well, you know, Israel's really a democracy, but even the people that advocated for democracy are going, well, Benjamin Netanyahu sort of destroyed this Israel. So the PR machine is falling in on itself, starting to argue against itself. There's a debate against themselves, etc. Boom. They don't have a plan. The whole world, they lost the script. It got out of control. The whole world's in the street. They don't know what to do. And so this is where you find out the true nature of people. When you strip away the pretense, when you strip away the scripting, the acting, and it just comes down, they're standing in front of you, buck naked, and they have to make a decision, you find out who they are. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to the reality of political Zionism, because that's what modern Israel is. It's not a democracy. It's not a nation that wants to live in peace and harmony with its neighbors. It's about the Israel that Benjamin Netanyahu has played a large role in creating, the Israel that assassinated Yitzhak Rabin, is the ugly face of political Zionism, where they treat Arabs as animals, they view everybody as subhuman, and they don't care about the law. They will do everything necessary to achieve their objectives. This is the reality, and it's crude. I mean, look at the UN talk.
Have y'all ever heard of Oscarville, Georgia? What if I told you that Oscarville, Georgia is the most haunted location in all of America? Well, in the early 1900s, Oscarville was a thriving black town, very similar to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, just like Tulsa, there were some people from the other persuasion who didn't necessarily like that there were so many black folks doing so good. Oscarville, unfortunately, was located in one of the most infamous counties in all of Georgia. And if you black from Georgia, you know exactly what I mean when I say you stay the hell out of Forsyth County. So in 1912, Oscarville suffered from a series of racially motivated riots. So residents were threatened to either sell their land or die. Now the history books will tell you that the people of Oscarville were bought out of their land and they left fairly. That's a fucking lie, bro. They wiped out the entire town, destroyed it. So I know you may be asking, well, what happened to Oscarville? Where'd it go? It's still there. It's just buried underneath a 38,000-acre man-made lake called Lake Lanier, a.k.a. the real Camp Crystal Lake. First of all, since 1994 alone, there have been 200 people who have died at Lake Lanier. Most of them drowned. You think that's crazy? That's not even scratching the surface. Because ever since the lake was opened, there have been a total of 700 deaths, bruh. And for some strange reason, people still keep going there. I don't know why. It's funny because as somebody from Georgia, we used to always say somebody should make a horror movie about Lake Lanier, because clearly that shit's haunted. Just when you thought it would never happen, here comes Lanier, an independent film telling the real truth about Oscarville, Georgia and what happened there. See, in the movie, a detective heads to the lake for a family getaway until he gets a call about a mysterious drowning. As he's learning about the history of the lake, he's real skeptical. He ain't really believing it. What's done in the dark always comes to the light, and he eventually found out the truth. This movie is definitely important to the culture of Georgia, and it's important to the history of black people in this country. Y'all know Black Wall Street in Tulsa was bad. That was a terrible thing that happened. But at least people know about it. Oscarville, Georgia, no one knows. The history was buried, just like the city was, underneath the damn lake. Ask any of your friends from Georgia, they'll tell you, we don't fuck around with Lake Lanier, bro. Next time somebody brings up this lake, just remember who told you the real history about it.
It's gonna turn on Israel. That's precisely what they've been, what you're seeing right now is the beginning of the end. Yes, indeed. U.S. Senate Leader Chuck Schumer gave a 45-minute and 24-second speech this morning at the on Capitol Hill, basically stating that, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu was unfit to continue to rule over Israel or to bring them a victory, which I stated a couple days ago that they had already been, you know, some whispers about how bad it is in Israel's military right now because they're literally crumbling right in front of everyone's eyes. And it gets much worse than that. So in his speech, Chuck Schumer's speech, he notes that Benjamin Netanyahu is an obstacle to peace. Now, this comes shortly after Benjamin Netanyahu and Gallant went into Rafah against Joe Biden's orders, okay? He stated that if you were going to go into Rafah, there should be no casualties whatsoever. Now, just in case y'all don't know, both of these men are up on the chopping block, Joe Biden and Benjamin Netanyahu, for the upcoming case in the ICC, that's the International Criminal Court of Justice, or International Criminal Court, where they are on the chopping block for being potentially warmongers, which we have more than enough evidence, okay? Not only that, Benjamin Netanyahu bombed a site in Rafah that food aid was getting dropped at. So now they're saying that Benjamin Netanyahu has lost his way and that a two-state solution is the only way. In addition to that, news broke early this morning around 4:40 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The EU Parliament overwhelmingly passed the bill condemning Israeli attacks on aid to Gaza and urging Israel to immediately facilitate unhindered humanitarian aid delivery. This is post the recent situation we just saw yesterday of them bombing the exact site that aid had just come to seconds after the aid dropped. Aid delivery to prevent mass starvation. The bill also causes for an immediate and permanent ceasefire and recognizes the indispensable work of UNRWA. Okay, now this comes shortly after news broke that what Israel claimed was 100% false and made up. That a previous IDF and IOF soldier stated that some of the people that was a part of UNRWA were a part of the attacks that happened on October 7th. Now, after an investigation was done by both Israeli military and the UN Security Council, they found that there was no evidence that backed up that information, no recordings, nothing. Okay, they couldn't even find said people that Israel had been stating was a part of Hamas and UNRWA at the same time and had a part in what happened on October 7th. All they found was an audio conversation in which these two staff members were talking about the safety of the Palestinians after they found out seconds or moments after news broke out about what was going on October 7th. So some calls was made and they said, get to somewhere safe. Because apparently they're coming after all of us, so we don't know if y'all gonna be safe, okay? We understand that y'all are part of the UN, but we just don't know if y'all gonna be safe, and this is what's going down. That's the only audio or any evidence that Israel had to back what it was saying, and even that was completely circumstantial, and they showed no evidence of this being factual, okay? Now, hold on. Stick with me. Because I know a lot of y'all are gonna jump in the comments and say, that don't mean that da-da-da-da and woo-dee-woo-dee-woo. Yes, the fuck it does. Because I was alerted about this about 4 days ago. Society in the north of Israel is collapsing, but I needed to ensure that this is actual factuals. Now, if y'all did not know, they cut the internet source and power source off in Rafah. They also cut it off in Israel so that some of the information could not get out to us. However, in our Telegram group, information was passed down to us that society in the north was collapsing after Hezbollah and Yemen both began attacking Israel and Tel Aviv and Haifa at the exact same time on Monday and Sunday night, right here in America. So that's a different time zone over there. Now, as a result of that, society in the north of Israel began collapsing. Why? Because Hezbollah was hitting them with hundreds of missiles at a time. So all that man had to do was press one button and hundreds of missiles was flying. The Iron Dome tried to intercept it. Wasn't working. The missiles landed. Do you hear what I'm saying? The missiles landed. So society in the north of Israel is beginning to collapse. In addition to that, there's word on the street. I haven't gotten the official confirmation, but this is the same source that provided this information that stated that the military in the Israeli military cabinet is beginning to collapse, starting with the resignation of Gantz and several other military associates that were parts of the cabinet. They knew what was coming and they jumped ship, leaving it to Gallant and Bibi and several other military members to basically try and salvage whatever they could of the attacks that they had done. Okay, so now Israel is no longer on the offense, baby. They playing defense now because it's too many people that want a bite of that ass at the same exact time. You got Yemen, you got Lebanon, you got Russia, you got Iran and several other countries. And now it's at the point where even Jordan is starting to flip on them. Trust me, I got the proof and I got the videos for y'all. Just give me 1 second. The residents of the northern settlements, Hezbollah does not stop. And we are exhausted. Just keep doing it. We are exhausted and living among missiles. Just imagine how the Palestinians feel. Weren't y'all throwing barbecues? Weren't y'all having like Super Bowl parties and watching the missiles from the hills? Child, I'm trying to stay as professional as possible and I'm trying not to bust out laughing because that's what the fuck you get. Mm-hmm. That's what you get. Just imagine how the Palestinians feel. Oh, all of a sudden it hurts. Out. Because, child, I'm not gonna go there with y'all. We want to understand what can be done at the end of the Hezbollah missile nightmare. Oh, so now all of a sudden y'all recognize what pain looked like when the same pain is inflicted upon you. But y'all was just cheering 6 months ago. Y'all was happy as hell. Society in the north has collapsed. Many businesses have been closed and families have been dispersed to the outskirts of the country, a country that doesn't belong to you. It's Chalk Stone. Let's go ahead and watch Chuck Schumer's speech that he gave. I got about 2 minutes and 17 seconds of it. Give me 1 second. Let me return the volume.
I have known Prime Minister Netanyahu for a very long time. While we have vehemently disagreed on many occasions, I will always respect his extraordinary bravery for Israel on the battlefield as a younger man. I believe in his heart he has his highest priority, as is the security of Israel. However, I also believe Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way by allowing his political survival to take the precedence over the best interests of Israel. He has put himself in coalition with far-right extremists like Minister Smotrich and Ben-Gavir, and as a result, he has been too willing to tolerate the civilian toll in Gaza, which is pushing support for Israel worldwide to historic lows. Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah. As a lifelong supporter of Israel, it has become clear to me the Netanyahu coalition no longer fits the needs of Israel after October 7th. The world has changed radically since then, and the Israeli people are being stifled right now by a governing vision that is stuck in the past. At this critical juncture, I believe a new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel. At a time when so many Israelis have lost their confidence in the vision and direction of their government, Hamas and the Palestinians who support and tolerate their evil ways, radical right-wing Israelis in government and society, President Abbas, Prime Minister Netanyahu. These are the four obstacles to peace, and if we fail to overcome them, then Israel and the West Bank and Gaza will be trapped in the same violent state of affairs they've experienced for the last 75 years.
Damn, man. Today was supposed to be my day.
Yo, we see all the little crafty counseling that's going on. And I hope y'all seeing this, man. These people so wicked and so conniving. America, Germany, France, Britain. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know, Israel, it seems like some of the people in the world is stepping up, trying to grab them a little balls or something. Trying to do something after almost 160,000 people done died or got injured. It had to take 160,000 people to be dead or injured, and 1 million people to be displaced from their home for people to just step up and do nothing. You know, and doing nothing, you know, this is what we get.
Morning, as we begin with breaking news this hour, the United Nations Human Rights Council has just adopted a resolution calling for Israel to be held accountable for possible war crimes and crimes against humanity committed in the Gaza Strip. Listen. 28 countries voted in favor, 13 abstained, and 6 voted against the resolution, including the U.S. and Germany.
I call for a vote on this text and request from the Secretariat to open the machine for delegations to express their vote. The vote is closed. And then resolution L30 is adopted by the Council by 28 yes. 13, please just, I request, please, to let me just announce the result for the council, if you wish so, please. So the results are like it follows. Yes, 28, abstention 13, and no 6. Then the resolution is adopted by the council.
Well, all this comes after Israel agreed to open 2 new aid routes into the Gaza Strip to allow in much-needed humanitarian assistance. It followed a phone call between U.S. President Joe Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Biden called for an immediate ceasefire and warned Netanyahu that U.S. aid to Israel is conditional on it taking steps to boost aid to Gaza. In the past few minutes, the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken welcomed the development.
Number one, this is Harvard. We don't teach money at Harvard.
And she said they don't teach money
at Harvard.
They don't teach money at Harvard. If they don't teach money at Harvard, then what are they doing in the public school system?
I don't think they want us to know. There's the conspiracy theory. So I think in the school system, they don't want us to learn about money because they just want to pump out good employees that do what they're told. I mean, if you look at school, it's opposite of what it takes to be successful in real life. Don't make a mistake. Do as you're told. Take tests by yourself. Don't cooperate. Do it by yourself. Do it on your own. And there's only one right answer.
When asked on their first date by her now-husband, Robert Kiyosaki, what she wanted to do with her life, Kim Kiyosaki said she wanted to be an entrepreneur, but she didn't know anything about entrepreneurship. Now Kim has earned millions upon millions of dollars and is an entrepreneur, investor, and author who has become a leading voice in financial education and empowerment. One of her main missions is to expose the truth that the school system doesn't want you to know about money.
So you come out of school scared to death of making a mistake. You do everything on your own. You don't cooperate. There's no synergy. There's no brainstorming. And there's only one right answer. Everybody wants to get the right answer. There's no one right answer. So I think people come out of school paralyzed. I think the school system is criminal in that it kills a child's spirit of learning. You know, a child goes into school all excited about, yeah, I'm going to learn and it's going to be great. And then the teacher says, sit down and shut up. Don't talk. We don't care what you're interested in.
I was talking to a woman the other day. She's just as you're saying, highly successful doctor. Very, very successful.
Medical doctor.
Medical doctor. Very smart in so many ways. But when we were talking, she finally looked at me and she said, oh, my God. She goes, I have not a clue about my money. She's 45 years old, not a clue. And you think that because they're successful, they know something about money. But so many people don't, because so many of us haven't had the education.
So, what is there to learn about money? Kim explains that while school teaches you to get a job and be an employee, the best way to become rich is by sustaining yourself through passive income like real estate, even if you have to go into debt or to get a mortgage to get started.
I love real estate. And I started back in 1989 with a little two-bedroom, one-bath house. You know, and back then it was $45,000, and I had to put down $5,000, which I didn't have, and I was scared to death, and what if I lose money, and what if I make a mistake? But once I got through that first property and kept buying more and more properties, I understood real estate. I understood the game, but I also understood the freedom that real estate, specifically cash flowing real estate, could deliver.
Eventually, by generating enough money through passive income, you can become financially free.
The FDA has allowed for foods that are GMO to be labeled organic. It tells you that it is a GMO product, genetically modified organism.
And why do we want to stay away from GMO foods?
Because it's synthetic. The body can't recognize it. So it wreaks havoc in the body. Think about it. They're grapes. Grapes grow with seeds. Mm-hmm. But now you can buy organic grapes that don't have seeds. There is no food that is seedless naturally.
What are preservatives and why aren't they good?
Well, many of them stay in our bodies 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, and they form as free radicals. You know, the body can't digest them. They don't know what it is. And free radicals eventually come together and clog arteries or turn into disease. I don't tell people that, you're going to die if you eat that. I don't say that to you. I encourage you to do your own research, okay? Because there are a lot of foods that are GMO that are not labeled GMO. Mm-hmm. So you don't even know.
Right.
Okay? Because the FDA so conveniently made it so that these manufacturers don't have to label it anymore. They used to have to, but they don't now.
So taking care of you is your responsibility. I read those books and started practicing, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is it. And that's when I began to understand the importance of knowledge. Let food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food.
The FDA has...
Earthquakes, we in the end times. They gave his babies to the gators, don't forget now. He delivered us from Egypt, about to do it all again. Finding out that we the people, so we putting down our sins. Father, we wanna go home, Abba, please let us in. Oh, and no one to your word, cause you about to send your winds. Abba, keep us from the hour of temptation. Trusting in your word, we just waiting. Come get us from these nations. Abba, keep us from the trickery of Satan. Trusting in your word, not these nations. We in the tribulation.
We get what we deserve. Oh, we get more. Come tell me, we get what we deserve. Oh, we get
blue. Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle.
So, brother, you getting edified, brother? What you learning, brother, since you've been up here? What have you learned?
I'm learning there's just more than one nation of people that look like us, for one.
Okay, what's your nation of people?
What is my specific nation?
Right.
I identify myself as emotional.
What did the brother go into? What did the brother let you know who you are?
He said.
What did he say, brother? What does that mean?
You talking about what the Lord said in that Bible?
Okay, but what did the Lord say in that Bible, brother?
Right. He said a whole lot of things.
Okay, but what did he say about who you are, brother? You know he said a lot of things, man. Right. But what did he say about you, brother?
God. I don't identify with what's in the Bible. I can't tell you. I don't read all of the Bible.
Okay, what does Moorish American mean? What does American mean?
America, the land.
Give me Psalms, chapter 80 and 6. Right, give me Psalms, chapter 44, verse 6. Give me the classic, Deuteronomy chapter 28, give me verse 37. Right, give me the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, give me verse 20. Read that real quick.
Chapter 80 and verse 6, and it reads thus, thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves.
That's when we call ourselves American.
And our enemies laugh among themselves.
Oh, Moorish American.
And our enemies laugh among themselves.
Oh, Negro.
And our enemies laugh among themselves.
Your enemies, brother. Hold on, I didn't say you're my enemy. Your enemies are these other nations. That's a so-called white man, Chinese man, Arab man, African man, East Indian man, Ethiopian man. All of these nations, they laugh amongst each other. What you call yourselves, things that they gave you, man. That's not according to the scriptures, man. They may not do it in your face, man. They'll give you that smile. They'll laugh at you. They'll take your money and give you what you bought. But when they go home, brother, they still laugh. Still got him, man. Still got that brother right there, man. Still doesn't even know that he's an Israelite, man. Well, no, they ain't get us up here, brother. They ain't get us all, brother. We know who we are, Khan. We're the Israelites, brother. You gotta know who you are, man. They laugh amongst themselves at the fact that there's more Israelites and sons of God who do not know who they are, man. America's the last name of a so-called white man, brother. You had a man, there's a man named America's Vespucci, man. A so-called white man, a cartographer, a map maker, brother. Up a late Renaissance period, and they named this land in South America after him. So how do you come from a so-called white man? How could your name be the name of an Italian man? Didn't the Italians kill our Lord, Yahweh Shai, man? What did he call it? Jesus Christ, man? Wasn't they ambassadors of the Roman Empire? How are you calling yourself a name after a white man? Wait. America's Vespucci is where you get the term American from.
Ford was named America before.
No, that's his actual name. I'm saying, why? Hold on. I'm asking you. Listen to the question. Why do you call yourself a name of a so-called white man?
I call myself an American. First and foremost, because I was born on this land called America.
Give me Slack, it's right, chapter 8. Give me verse 4.
Here, so I'm at home. Wherever
you at home?
Wherever I'm at on, listen to me, brother. Wherever I'm at on this earth, we're mine. Because the Lord told me wherever I step, my feet is set in the ground. So I don't take nothing from nobody. Ain't nobody gonna take nothing from me. Wherever I'm at, I'm at home.
Give me Joshua 1:3. I read the book of Sirach, chapter 8 and verse 4. Trust not with the rude man. Lest thy ancestors be what? Be disgraced.
Where your ancestors from?
Wake them up, huh?
All over?
No, they ain't from all over, brother.
The earth.
What place on the earth? When you open up the scriptures, when you study history, when you understand archaeology and anthropology, you understand that the so-called black, Hispanic, and Native American man, their homeland is Jerusalem. Their homeland is the land of Israel. You were brought over here due to the transatlantic slave trade, brother. Your ancestors were. You're still here, brother. Hold on. Black people in Detroit got here from Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, brother. My family's from Detroit, brother. Half of these brothers' families from Detroit, man. They came up here from plantations in the South in the 30s and the 40s. That's how you got here, brother. 450 years after they landed on those slave ports, brother. That's how you ended up in Detroit. So it's not about where you put your foot at. You was born over here, man. You was born over here, and you only put your foot where the so-called white men tell you can put your foot, man. So it ain't a matter of wherever I go, that's where I'm at, man. Nah, man, the so-called white man throw you in prison, man. He'll throw you in a fever camp. He'll put you on a ship and send you somewhere else, brother. You have to know, you have to know the land of your heritage. Give me the classic of Tobit, chapter 1 and 4. I know, I understand you completely, brother. I understand you.
I could be right. But you're not going to listen to me then.
Hold on, brother. Well, we're dealing with the first point. We're dealing with the fact that you have called yourself a Moorish American.
Right.
Read that. And you have to understand and accept the truth, man.
I have a whole embassy and a consulate.
You have an embassy?
Yes, a consulate.
Read that. So, do you own it?
There's an embassy. It's a consulate here that protects us. Like any other free nation.
Read that.
So, Book of Tobit.
Hold on. Who? Hold on. Okay, so there's a...
If anything, now, let's move here. It's to establish yours.
So if we go to the United Nations... Hold on, if we go to the United Nations...
You can do that.
Are the Moorish Americans there?
You can be there.
No, I'm asking, are the Moorish Americans there?
They are there.
Where are they? Where's their flag? Where's their land? Who's their politicians? Who's their congressmen? When do they get to talk? Do they talk after Italy? Or do they talk after China? What do they do?
They do the exact same thing that China...
They don't do the exact same thing that they do.
You asked me a question.
All right, go ahead.
You asked what they do.
All right, go ahead.
Them people in those embassies and those consulates, they're there to protect their people. First and foremost,
this is what they... Pull up the United Nations.
The Chinese people do this. The any nation of people you can name actually does this. Any nation of people, free people here on this land, they have an embassy to protect them. They have a consulate. In the event they have problems and things for the natives from the peoples here.
All right, hold on. Read that scripture first. It's the book of Tobit, chapter 1 and verse 4. And when I was in mine own country, in the land of Israel.
In the what?
In the land of Israel.
In the what?
In the land of Israel.
On the consulate.
In the land of Israel.
Who owns that consulate?
In the land of Israel.
No, who owns the consulate that you're speaking about?
That nation of people.
What people?
The people.
What people?
Let me answer you.
All right, boy.
Any people, any nation of people with an embassy or a consulate owns it. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
The so-called white man owns that, brother.
That's a good question, bro.
Right, right. But I'm telling you the correct answer. You answered it wrong.
I studied law, international law. Yeah. You're not going to tell me I'm wrong.
Well, you are wrong, brother.
Right.
Brother, there's no Moorish American in the United Nations walking around with his red, black, and green flag on, talking to Vladimir Putin, and then talking to man from Kim Jong-un, then he's up there with Biden. And they have the press conference when they're sitting down, and you got a Moorish American. Ain't a Moorish American, brother. That is, give me Colossians 2 and 8. Give me, no, ain't no wait. Give me 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 3. Give me 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 1. Give me 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 3. Give me Ephesians chapter 3 and 9. And give me 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 2. Read that.
The book of Colossians.
We want to talk, but we don't let the Most High talk. Read.
It's the book of Colossians, chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware, lest any man fool you through philosophy.
Through what?
Through philosophy.
Marsh man.
Through philosophy.
Read.
In vain deceit.
And what?
In vain deceit.
It's vain because you think that you can give yourself protection. It's vain because you're calling yourself an identity that the Most High didn't give you. It's vain that you think that you're free in America right now, brother.
When I look at you, I look in the eyes of the Most High.
Do you pay taxes?
No, I don't.
Are you supposed to pay taxes?
No, I don't.
You don't pay no taxes?
Absolutely not.
You don't get, do you have a so-called job?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, all right, well, all right. How do you provide for yourself?
I work. I'm self-employed. I got my
You're self-employed. Whose money do you use?
I use the money I generate.
Hold on, whose money? Whose money are you using?
There is no money.
There is no money. So you're self-employed. What do you earn? What are your wages? What is your revenue? What is your income?
Once again, there is no money.
So you don't have a bank account.
What is it to me?
Madness.
There's no money. What the cops should tell y'all? The highest.
Somebody take out. Take out something.
If I'm wrong,
dollar or something. Take out something.
Only thing that you use for
to pay tax. Take out something. Hold on. What is this?
Let me finish,
bro. No. What is this?
That no.
What is it?
I owe you.
And do you use this? Do you use this?
Yes.
Okay, all right, now we get somewhere. I get that, brother. But who owns this?
The Federal Reserve's do.
Which is owned by who?
The Federal Reserve's do.
Hold on, it's owned by what race of people?
It is a private people.
Right, but what race owns it?
I don't know who owns it.
Hold on. Does the white man own it?
Who owns
that? He paid. So he owns it, right?
Once again, that's not money.
Hold on. Does he own it?
That ain't the question.
That's the question.
You asked who owns money.
Does he? No, and I had another question. No, I'm not.
That ain't money.
Does he own it?
He own it.
Does he give it to you?
He don't give me nothing.
But you use this, right?
You have to.
All right, so, hold on. Now we get somewhere. Give me Baruch chapter 3 and 8. Now we get so he has admitted that he uses the so-called white man's money. If you didn't have the so-called white man's money, you wouldn't be able to survive and provide for yourself.
It's the book of Baruch, chapter 3, verse 8, right? Behold, we are yet this day.
No, we are what?
We are yet this day.
We are what?
We are yet this day.
Well, not no more.
We are yet this day.
Moorish American.
We are yet this day.
We
in our captivity.
In our what?
In our captivity.
In our what?
In our captivity.
He's going to tell you what makes a man a captive. Read.
We're going to scatter for reproach, and a curse.
And a what?
And a curse.
And a curse.
And to be subject to blame.
And to be what?
And to be subject to blame.
Don't
you have to pay things, you're subject to payments. You have to pay for that jacket. Right. You have to pay for those shoes. Right. You have to pay for that hat. Right. You have to pay your rent or your mortgage. Right. You're subject to payments. Right. The Federal Reserve, he forces you to take his money on interest that you have to use, brother, as a slave in this man's captivity.
Right.
Now, give me the book of Matthew chapter 17 to 24. Who's that? Right? Matthew chapter 17 to 24. So you got to get out this delusion, brother. Get out this delusion. The Lord is going to make you free, man. Brother, you have better things than the Moorish American coming to you, brother. You're going to have your own land, your own heritage, your own people, your own God. Who's the leader of the Moorish Americans?
Where's he at?
Where is he?
He ain't here.
Oh, you said he's here.
Where is he?
What's his name?
He in your pocket. What is he in your pocket? He's in your pocket. No, we ain't gonna go. Hold on. Where's the leader of the Moorish? Where is he?
Yeah, I don't know. He's somewhere. I don't know. I'm right here with you.
Okay, man. I thought he said he was in his pocket.
I'm right here with you.
Matthew chapter 7. It is why we don't follow Moorish Americans, man. We follow the Most High God, brother. We have a king. We have a God. We have a Lord, brother.
I'm not telling you.
You need a master. You need a guide.
You're not my enemy.
I'm not your enemy, brother. We're trying to teach you, but we're also rebuking you because you're into folly and madness. This is love.
Once again, if I told you who I was, why are you bashing me?
Because you're wrong.
You know, but if I am or not, you talk with me and get understanding as to why I could be wrong.
Brother.
You're not talking with me. You're talking at me.
Brother,
you're talking to me. We are not talking together.
Brother.
You're throwing your beliefs on me. You're not listening to me.
Brother, first of all, we were sent out. I'm not here. Brother, we don't hate you. Right. Don't we love the brother? Yeah. Will we give me the book of Titus 2 and 15. Hold that. What we're giving you, brother, is hard love. Because hold on. Brother, right, because listen.
It's wrong where it's right. I study and I get up to it and I determine what's from there.
Read Titus 2:15. It's the book of Titus, chapter 2 and verse 15. If we wasn't out here, nobody would tell you that you're wrong, man. Everybody will support your belief and say, well, you can be what you want to be. Believe what you can. Follow your heart. Whatever philosophy and religion that you want to be in, do it. That's what America promotes, brother. That's what this society promotes. We're against this society, man. We will sit down here to take people captive and bring them back to the Most High God. We'll sit down here to do that, brother. Our brothers was taken captive by these other nations in the spirit, and we have to bring them back to the Most High God, brother. So we don't care if a captive says, I'm here. I want to stay. We were sent on a mission, brother.
Right.
By the Most High, regardless of what the captive says, we have to bring them back to the Most High, man.
That's right.
Read that. It's the book of Titus, chapter 2 and verse 15. These things speak.
What the Lord says.
These things speak.
I'm saying.
These things speak.
Talk with them.
These things speak.
Read
and exhort. And rebuke with all authority.
And do what?
And rebuke with all authority.
What the Lord
says. And rebuke with all authority.
A little bit of authority.
And rebuke with all authority.
Read.
Let no man despise thee.
Let no man despise thee.
Moses sent us out here to rebuke with all authority. We have all authority given to us by your creator, by your God who has labeled you and called you an Israelite, brother.
Right.
And we were sent out here by authority, man, and with authority to teach the truth.
Right.
So when we're sent with the authority of the Most High God, we're not really out here to reason. We're not out here to be taught. We see what's wrong with our people.
Right.
The Most High told us what's wrong with our people.
Right.
The curses.
Yeah.
You're bound by the curses.
Right.
Madness,
right.
Confusion,
oppression,
blood,
darkness. These things come from disobedience.
Right.
Give me Deuteronomy 28 and 29. You're absolutely right. Give me Isaiah 5 and 13. Give me Deuteronomy 28 and 29. Read that.
It's the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. And verse 28,
yeah.
29. And thou shalt grope at the noonday.
What the Lord says.
And thou shalt grope at the noonday.
Groping at noonday is walking around aimlessly and blind, not knowing where you're at and where you're going.
Right.
That's how our people are in Christianity.
Right.
Moorish American, Nuwapian. All these philosophies have done what for our people?
Nothing.
Hold on. It might, everything within this group, not, what might work for you might not work for you.
It does work for him, brother. Because we're bound by the same laws and commandments.
You're missing my point.
Brother, it does. Listen,
All people are bound by a universal law and commandment given to us by Yahweh Bashmi Abashah. So what works for him, works for him, works for him, works for him, the next man, the next man. Because we're one body in the Most High, brother. So but again, that's that philosophy. What works for you don't work for him. I can do this because it works for me. Brother, this ain't the world, man. We're telling you the truth according to the Most High. And I'm still looking for the leader of the Moorish Americans. Where's the, hold on. Hold on, brother.
What works for you may not work for him, despite y'all making you brother.
That's that philosophy. That's that philosophy. That's extremely carnal, huh? Right now.
You are individual men here.
Read that. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 29. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy way.
Thou shalt what?
Thou shalt not prosper in thy way. What does Moorish mean?
Let's see that.
More for the name for the people that have been conquering Europe since forever.
That's not what I asked you. I didn't ask you what they did. I said, what does the word Moorish mean?
Oh, Moorish.
Okay, what does it mean?
Ish.
Okay, what does ish mean?
The people.
Just because you say it three times don't mean nothing, brother. Go ahead.
My people come from Morocco. First and foremost, let's get that straight.
Now, you might go to the etymology more.
You have Moroccan government. What makes you more Ishmael? Because I come from the ancient Moabite people.
You come from the ancient Moabites.
I'm more Ish.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I'm Moorish. I was born in Morocco.
Okay, we got so much we can touch on. Go ahead.
I'm more ish. I was born in Morocco. My people are from Morocco. I'm more ish because I am of that people born here on this land. That's where the more ish comes from.
Okay, read that. I want more. This is the etymology of the word more.
Bring it out.
Read.
Where you want to start? North Africa? Etymology of more.
Bring it out.
North African. Berber. What does that say?
Berber.
You a Berber?
I just told you what word, bro.
Hold on. This is what the word. This is the etymology.
They speak over there.
Hold on. This is the etymology. Go on. One of the race dwelling in Barbary, inhabited of Mauritania. God. Your people are from Mauritania or Morocco?
Mauritania, Morocco, Mali.
And how did your people get here? And how did they get here?
Some were captives, some always been here.
Some were taken captives.
Some of our people that look like us were captives, were took them captives, brought over here, and some of us was already here.
And a white man took them captives.
And some of us are already here.
Hold on, and a white man took them captive, right?
Yeah.
And you know that's in the Bible, right? Yeah. You know it was told that would happen in the Bible, right?
My point I was making,
hold on.
This is our home.
Hold on. Hold on, this is your confusion. Hold on, hold that.
You just said
that some of your people. Listen.
And some of them were captive. No, listen.
The ones that were taken captive, how could this be their home?
Right. Oh, now that's. If you were taken captive, you're just taken captive.
So is this their home for those that were taken captive?
You can look wherever. In my opinion, that was me captive, right?
You are captive, brother.
Right. Oh, I'm captive. Man, if I lose me, I'm a captive right in the United States. Because I know what the United States is. I understand and know what the United States is, but I know what I'm not. I know I'm not the United States.
You confusing me, brother.
I fuck with sin. I'm not a religious nothing. Because religion ain't going to save me.
All right, read on. From Greek moros, perhaps a native name, or else cognate with moros, black.
What does it mean?
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 Black. It means black. That's what it means, brother. That's the etymology. That's the truth, brother.
Who's truth?
That's the Most High's truth. He's the Most High created these words, brother. Now, you said that you're more. More means black. Are you black?
No, I'm not.
So, if you're not black, how are you a Moor?
My hair is black.
Your hair is not black, brother.
I asked that child. That's a
hold on, brother. No, because you keep diverting from the point. Moor means black.
You
have brown skin. So, how are you a Moor? How are you a Moor?
Confounded.
I'm Moor Smith.
So, you're black. You're a color out of a crayon box. And the last name of a white man, and you're a Moabite at the same time. You come from the ancient Moabites.
I'm not Moabite. I'm from those.
So you come from the Moabites.
Yeah, that's why I come from.
Is God dealing with the Moabites? Hold on, is God dealing 19.
That's white man.
We want to tell, hold on, not, hold on. But how do you know about the word Moab?
Because I read.
Read what?
I read the Bible.
Who's Bible?
I read that one. I read,
isn't that the white man's Bible?
I read a few. It's truth in some.
Give me Genesis 19, and I want you to start at 30. It's the book of Genesis, chapter 19. Now, hold on now. If you said.
I don't read a lot of it in there, but some things I do. I'm not going to say in Latin, y'all. Tell y'all I know everything.
So you said, hold on. So you read the word Moab.
A lot of it that makes sense to me, and a lot of it don't.
That's why we got to repent and come back to the Most High. Yeah. That's why it's important to forsake the philosophies and the sins of the world, brother.
Right.
Now,
you don't understand.
No, you're supposed to forsake folly and vanity, brother.
Right. Understand.
I don't understand crack and dope. Am I not going to forsake it because I don't understand it, brother?
You see,
I don't understand how it feels and what that makes you get into. I'm still forsake it, brother. That's what's wrong with our people, man. You want to taste everything, everything under the sun, man.
Right.
Everything on the tree, you want to
eat it and taste it, brother.
Right.
The Most High
gave you the straight way.
He gave you repentance. He gave you Yahushua. He gave you laws and commandments, brother.
Absolutely.
Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that you don't have to forsake it, man. That's madness, man. With that being said, the word Moab is only found in the Bible, brother. So if you're saying it's a white man's book, your understanding of who you are came from the white man.
I told you this.
Hold on. Your understanding, the white man told you who you are. That's what you're essentially saying. Because where else do you read about the Moabite people at?
The Bible.
All right, so did the white man tell you about your people coming from the Moabs?
I'll take it back. The Bible, the Library of Congress in D.C.
Library, brother, comes from the scriptures. Right, the word more.
Me a question.
But I'm telling you the truth, man. I know what you're gonna say.
Want to know true Moorish history?
I don't want to know true Moorish history, brother.
We're not gonna speak on it.
We want to understand the truth.
I didn't come here to talk about the Moorish nothing. I can't listen to y'all, brother.
All right, okay. Well, you gotta stop talking then.
I can't listen to y'all.
Oh, that's good.
But when you ask me a question, I'm gonna talk. Allow me that, whether you understand it or not.
All right,
that's how we communicate.
All right, that's fine. But guess what? I'm only asking you, brother, to teach you the truth, right? And you should understand that if I'm on that side and I'm being asked questions and I don't really have the answers and I'm stumbling, I'm fumbling the bag and I don't know what's going on, it wouldn't compel me to shut up. And I said, well, damn, I don't really know nothing, man.
True.
Let me listen to what they got to say. I wouldn't keep contending. That's how we all came into the truth for the most part. Bro. Hold on, the truth was presented to us.
Right.
You ain't had an answer for Christianity. You ain't had the answers in Islam.
Right.
You didn't have the answers when you were smoking weed, man.
Right.
You didn't have those answers. What do? We shut the hell up, man.
Right.
And we heard what the Most High had to say.
Right.
And we submitted like the lesson brothers was going to earlier. We submitted to the will of the Most High.
Right.
We put our neck under the yoke, man.
Ah.
And we submitted to the will of the Lord, brother. And hold on. That's what you have to do. You have to submit to the will of the Most High. Hold that. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and 3 real quick. Give me Isaiah chapter 44 and give me verse 5. And we're going to hold that. Right? We're going to go to the Moabite man too, brother. And show you that the Moabite man ain't nobody you want to come from, man. God forbid, man.
Definitely want to come from
the Moabite man.
That's a lie.
That.
The book of Isaiah. That's a lie.
Chapter 44, verse 5. And read. One shall say, I am the Lord.
What the Lord say?
One shall say, I am the Lord.
What are we saying?
One shall say, I am the Lord.
I'm a Moorish American.
One shall say, I am the Lord.
Read.
And another shall call himself by the name of Jacob.
See, the Most High says you have to call yourself by the name of Jacob and that you come from the Lord, man.
You can't say that you're a Moorish American and you're from Morocco and you're black and you're American and you come from the Moabite land, brother. That's madness and confusion. The Most High said one shall call himself by the name of Jacob. If you came up here to listen, Jacob is the name of your forefather, brother. You come from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, which in the Hebrew is Yahshua'allah, which means he is a prince of God. You are a prince of God, brother. You're better than a Moorish American. You're better than a black man. You're better than a Negro. You don't need a consulate, brother. You don't need an embassy, man. You don't have to reason with the so-called white man. The Most High is about to destroy this place, man. You have your own kingdom and your own throne and your own crown and your own laws and your own commandments, man. You don't have to worry about trying to get their crumbs from the so-called white man, brother. Let me finish. Read it on. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself
by the name of Israel.
By the what?
By the name of Israel.
Tell we.
By the name of Israel.
Jewish American.
By the name of Israel.
By the name of Israel.
Yeah.
That's what you have to call yourself, brother. You call yourself by the name of what, brother? What did the scripture say?
I can't do that. I don't understand it. I don't understand.
Okay, but you can listen, right?
I'm listening. I'm still
so
here.
God, all right, so God said you subscribe yourself by the name what? What did it say?
And surname himself by the name of Israel.
By the what?
By the name of Israel.
What name did God tell us to call ourselves? By the name of what?
Israel.
Right, by the name of Israel, brother. So now you get somewhere, man. Now we get somewhere by the name of Israel. That is the name that God gave us.
Where did all these other nations come from? It's only one nation.
Hold on, it's not just one nation. You got 18 nations, according to the Most High. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 8. Give me Acts 17 and 26. Give me the book of Sirach chapter 50 and give me verse 6. Right? I also want the book of Genesis chapter 10 and give me verse 24. Read that.
It's the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 8.
When
the Most High divided to the nation.
No, one nation.
When the Most High divided to the nation.
The Most High divided different nations of people.
Right.
You got the Edomites, which is the so-called white man. You got the Moabites, which is the biblical name of the Chinese man, brother.
Right.
The Moabite man is the Chinese man.
Right.
They're the dog-eating, mice-eating, brother, so-called Chinese man. What do you mean it's a so-called Chinese man, brother?
They still over there to this day in the mountains in China right now. Just like you.
Well, let them stay in the mountains till we take them slavery, brother. Let them stay in the mountains till we take them captive. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is they're not.
Just like you.
That, brother, all nations were dark at one time.
Right.
Just because all nations are dark, doesn't mean that all dark nations are the same people.
Right. I said that. That's my question to you. My question to you was, if this was just one nation, what about all the other nations that look like us?
Right. Well, get to that.
To you.
Well, the Israelites are above those other nations, brother. That's the point I'm making. We're going to go through those nations.
Whether they up here or down here is irrelevant. My point was, there's just more than one nation of people that look like us. Wherever it comes from.
Right, you're right.
I can't say those people are wrong. You know why? Because you go out and build your own nation instead of your own laws and things of this nature to protect your people. You're not wrong.
Out of all those nations, brother, which one are you?
I told you, we don't keep doing that, bro. I told you who I was.
Read that.
I told you I'm not.
We build up, you know what I'm saying? We building up,
yeah.
Then you just start breaking it back down.
I know,
take your hammer, you just break it down, all of the foundation that we're building, man.
I don't understand.
Like a vessel that can't hold water, man. Read that. It's the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 8.
Read it.
When the Most High divided to the nations, there are nations of people on the earth. We are the Israelite nation, the so-called black, Hispanic, and Native American man, woman, and child. We are different than the other nations. The Ethiopian man is a dark nation. We don't come from the Cushites. The children of Egypt, of Mount Zion, they are a dark nation. We don't come from the Egyptians. The children, all of the children of Kam and Foot and Lud, we don't come from those nations, yet they are melanated people. You had Moabites, Chinese, Arabs, East Indians that have dark skin, some darker than us. We are not those people. We are concerned with our people. Our people are the Israelites. You will be an Israelite. Don't be worried and concerned about the ungodly and these other nations who don't love you. They don't respect you. They don't give you a fair shake. They put you in captivity, and they laugh at the fact that you're contending for nations that don't contend for you. Read on.
To the nations, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam.
What is this thing about?
When he separated the sons of Adam.
What's the Most High do?
When he separated the sons of Adam.
See, the Most High, he doesn't want all nations, all dark nations to come together. He wants the Israelites to have their own land,
right.
Have his laws, his commandments, have his statutes. Read on.
When he separated the sons of Adam.
See, the Moorish Americans, all they do is build off of the so-called white man's laws, right? And try to survive. So what are the laws of the Moorish Americans?
Right. Absolutely nothing.
Okay, what are the laws? And where can I find them?
Actually, God's laws.
Oh. What God?
God's laws.
What God?
Oh, wait, no. I'm going to tell you where the law is at.
It's eight statues at large, 100.
Eight statues at large.
That's where it is.
Okay.
I'm telling you what it is. I'm telling you what it is.
All right.
It is the oldest tree between the United States and the Moroccan
government.
Come up here. Come up here.
Give him a thing where people can hear him.
Come up here. I can't hear what you got to say.
Give him a speaker where people can hear what he says.
You want to hear what he got to say?
Huh?
You want to hear what he got to say?
Nobody else can hear.
Well, come, you gotta come up and hear what he gotta say then.
Right.
I'm not talking about that, me.
You should be listening to what God has to say, man.
I'm listening.
Right.
All right, you stay there and listen, all right?
For everybody else.
Well, brother, listen to the word of the Lord. All right, listen to the word of the Lord. The point we're making, brother, is that you would be an Israelite. All right, God's chosen people.
That's right.
Now, again, you said that the laws of the Moorish Americans go back to a treaty with the white man. Hold on, go back and say that again.
That's where I'm at.
It is a treaty.
Hold on, brother.
All right, go on.
The only treaty that I know of that hasn't been broken to this day since 1787, when that treaty was put into play between Morocco and the United States concerning the Moors on these lands.
I'm saying, what are the laws?
Wait a minute. I'm telling you where they are. You go read it for yourself.
Okay, what are they?
Eight statues at large. My phone dead. I will put it up now. Eight statues at large, 100.
I don't think you understand what I'm asking.
I'm telling you.
So, I understand exactly. Okay, hold on. So, okay.
I'll tell you where it's at.
So, under the Moorish Americans, what can't we eat? What can we eat? How do we treat each other?
There we go.
What are our particular festivities?
You have your own mind.
So this is madness. So we have our own mind, and what else?
I just said it because I'm not
knowing. I'm asking you. I asked you for laws.
And I told you.
So how we regulate our lives? Where can I find that?
I'm studying your literature, your things of that nature.
What literature?
Whatever you studied for you and yours.
So and we're all Moorish Americans, and he studies the doctrine of atheism. His brother studies sodomy and freakism. I study Christianity. Hold on, we're all Moorish Americans. Hold on, brother. If we're all Moorish Americans with three different ideologies, right, how is that productive for Moorish Americans?
Right.
I'm not saying that either.
Right, so if it's not productive, it's counterproductive.
I know. Right. I am. I can only get myself and my family in.
So now we're not Moorish America. That's selfish, bro.
That actually is not selfish, bro. Now I'm telling you why it ain't.
Give me the book of John, chapter 13, right at 34, bro. I'm concerned about me and mine. Are we concerned about me and mine? We love our brother.
That's right.
We are for the sheep.
That's right.
Read that. It's the book of John, from the 13 to verse 34.
Read it out.
A new commandment I give unto you. The Bible has laws and commandments. It ain't just read your literature. And then do what you want to do. And eat what you want to eat. Right? But you're a Moorish American. That's madness, man. Read on. There's no laws and regulations for the Moorish Americans.
At all.
Can you be a homosexual amongst Moorish Americans?
Okay. No.
Why not? What tells me, what doctrine, what literature lets me know that?
I don't think no man.
I asked you in the Moorish, hold on. I asked you in the Moorish Americans, what ordinance, what law, what commandment, and where can I find it?
Find what? Don't be fat.
Read it. Right.
You just common sense. You don't do that.
So it's just common sense. So common sense.
Come on,
read
the
book of John, chapter 13, verse 34.
Read it out.
Where can I find that?
Do men is not productive in this.
What about taking care of the poor?
What about
raising your children?
You do that.
What about not having idols?
You do that.
Is not having idols common sense?
It is for me.
Read on. You don't know what's going on. The book of Tithes, brother, you don't know what's going on.
Brother, you ask me. I don't know what the hell an idol is. I don't worship idols.
You do worship idols, brother.
I just told you I don't.
You worship the idol in your mind, which is that religion and philosophy that you serve.
Guess what? What you tell me ain't gonna make or break me nothing.
Well, that's your problem, brother. It should make or break you, brother.
Right.
It should make or break you.
Right.
Give me 2 Corinthians 10 and 3.
I have to be ready for it.
Give me 2 Corinthians 10 and 3.
I have to study these things.
Give me 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. Read that.
Jump in the water, not knowing.
Right. Read that, man. It's
the book of 2 Corinthians
chapter 10 and verse 3.
See, that's why we have to come back to the Most High, man. That's why it's important to understand your heritage, your nationality. That's why I'm so blessed. And we're so blessed in Yahweh Bashmi Abashan. I'm going to say, call on Yahweh Bashmi Abashan, man.
Call on Yahweh Bashmi Abashan.
We got to deal with this, man. Imagine we all have to deal with this, man. It'd be murder, man. We be killing each other. We be committing adultery. We be robbing from one another. We be back into Christianity. And we be smoking weed. We be selling dope. And we were all Moorish Americans. Because evidently, a Moorish American just reads literature and does what he wants to do. Right? Read that.
Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, and read. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Are not what?
Are not carnal.
Read.
But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
What are we doing?
Pulling down of strongholds.
Moorish American.
Pulling down of strongholds.
See, the Most High sent us to break all that philosophy, and now it's been broken down to garbage and rubble, brother. Now, if anybody's watching and they want to get into Moorish Americans, and you're the voice of reason for Moorish Americans, they'd be a fool to follow that, man.
Yep.
If you're the voice of reason and the ambassador of Moorish Americans, and this is the doctrine. Everybody should know. Well, let me look at what's in them scriptures, man. Because that's garbage right there. Let me see what them brothers talking about. Where them brothers be at? They be out of Grand Circus. I heard Moorish Americans. Say, ain't nothing, man. Let me figure out what the words of the Lord. So we're glad you came out here, brother. We're glad because the Most High sent you out to magnify the name of the Most High. He sent you out to magnify the words of life. This lets you know how precious the words of life are, man.
That's right.
Right, how it's important to come back to the Lord, bro. Right. So read on, King.
Verse 5. Casting down imagination.
What the Lord say?
Casting down imagination.
What's that consulant?
Casting down imagination.
What's that philosophy?
Casting down imagination.
Read.
And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God.
Read.
And bringing into captivity every thought.
Every what?
Every thought.
Every what?
Every thought.
So we have to take your thoughts and bring them in submission to the will of God.
Read. To the obedience of Christ.
Right.
And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
When your what?
When your obedience is fulfilled.
So we have to break down all science, philosophies, quasi-knowledge, many books, anything that comes against the words of the Lord, brother. And there's nothing that Moorish America's Nuwapi is anything, any doctrine that could come against the words of the Most High, brother. There's no fallacy in the scriptures. There's no lie. There's no contradiction. There's no damn white man wrote that. There's nothing you could do about the words of the Most High. Read on. You got one question before we pass.
Are you a free man?
Am I? No, I'm not a free man. I'm a prisoner of Yahweh Bashmi Abashar.
That's right!
That's right! Give me Leviticus 25 and 35. What's sir? It means that we're bound by God to keep the laws, statutes, and commandments. We're bound by a covenant that he made with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're the children of a covenant. We're bound by a contract, brother, that's signed in blood that we cannot break, brother. We weren't born as free men. We were bound by the chains of the doctrine of Yahweh Bashmi Abashar.
Read that. It's the book of Leviticus, chapter 25 and verse 35.
Read it up!
If thy brother be waxing poor and falling in decay with thee.
45 and 45.
So the book of Leviticus, right. 25, verse 45.
Right. Yeah.
Pour over of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you. Of them shall ye bind, and of the families that are with you, which they begat in your land.
Right.
And they shall be your possession.
Right.
And ye shall take them as inheritance for your children after you.
Right.
To inherit them for a possession.
Right.
And they shall be your bondman forever.
And they shall what?
And they shall be your bondman forever.
So the Most High, he sets it up. The children of Israel are the Lord's servants.
That's right.
These are the nations, they are our servants and our slaves according to the will of the Most High. Read on.
But over your brethren.
Over your what?
Over your brethren. The children of Israel. Ye shall not rule over another with vigor. Verse 47.
Read 43.
Verse 43. Thou shalt not rule over him with vigor.
42.
42. So the book of Leviticus at 25 and verse 42.
Bring it up.
For they are my servants.
The Lord said,
For they are my servants.
They're my free men.
For they are my servants.
They can do what they want to do.
For they are my servants.
The Most High said,
For they are my servants.
They are my servants. We are servants to the Most High God.
Which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen.
They shall what?
They shall not be sold as bondmen.
We are servants to the Most High God, brother. A servant isn't free, man. A servant has a job he has to do. A servant waits on his master. A servant he's taken care of by the master of the household. All things are provided by the master. Shelter, lodging, food, water, instructions. All of these things are provided by the master, brother. And our master is Yahweh Bashmi Abashai, man. So no, we are not free, brother. We are bound by the law, statutes, and the commandments. Read 1 Corinthians 7 and read 19.
Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19 in the
Yo!
Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant?
What the Lord is saying?
Art thou called being a servant?
Read that again.
Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather.
You can buy your freedom, read.
For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man.
You're the Lord's free man, read.
Likewise, also, he that is called being free.
Weren't we called being free? We were born as so-called American citizens. We were born in this man's world, man. We were called free. Go on with a birth certificate, social security. You understand? Go on. He that is what?
Is Christ's own. Or likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant.
Is what?
Is Christ's servant.
What are we?
Christ's servant.
So we're the Lord's servants, brother. You got to be the Lord's servant now, brother. You got to come back to your master, bro. Hold on, brother. You got to come back to your master, Yahweh Bashmi Abashai. You have to put your neck under the yoke and learn the instructions of your master, brother. If you continue to be a free man in America, you're going to die a free man in America. All free men are going to die, brother. The servants and the slaves of Yahweh Bashmi Abashai, they're going to live, man. And we're going to be made free in the kingdom of heaven. Bashmi Abashai Abashai. Give me Revelation 18 and 21. Give me Genesis 49 and 1.
You can't serve two masters. That's why I asked you that.
But we're all right, brother. And our master is Yahweh Bashmi Abashai.
Listen again. I asked you.
Who's your master?
The Most High.
Okay, if your master is the Most High, right? Can you rebel against your master?
I mean, you can, but there'll be consequences.
Okay, so what did your master tell you to do on the earth?
Prosper.
Where is it in the scriptures?
Once again,
what the Most High says, prosper.
Well, I'm telling y'all, what makes sense to me.
No.
I'm a prosper, do good to people. I'm going to help people out, feed the homeless. I ain't going to
give me Revelation 18. This is madness. Give me Revelation 18 to 21.
Read
the book of Revelation. We got to read that. This is the book of Revelation, chapter 18 and verse 21.
Yeah.
And a mighty angel took up a great stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, "That's what bind Marsh America.
That's what bind
philosophy.
That's what bind
science.
That's what bind
me." Saying, "So that's what violence. So that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." That's right. Give me Genesis 49 and 1.
Book of Genesis, chapter 49, verse 1, and read. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together."
Now,
gather yourselves together.
You call?
Gather yourselves together.
Me?
Gather yourselves together.
Me?
That I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days.
And you're living in the last days, brother.
God.
You're living in the end of the world, man.
Right.
Time is ticking, man.
Yeah.
You can't misuse the servants and the prophets and the men of the Most High. The Lord said, "Thine eyes shall see thy teachers." Mm-hmm. And you shall hear a word behind you saying what? This is the way. Walk ye in it when you go from the right hand and the left, brother. Right. So the Most High sent you out here to submit to the will of God, to submit to the Most High, to cast out all of that old wine and all of that old leaven, brother. You can't come into this Passover with all of that old leaven, brother. You have to accept the blood of the Lamb, brother, and submit to the will of your Creator, brother. Right? Give me the book of St. John 12 and 28. Read that.
The book of John, chapter 12, verse 28. Father, glorify thy name.
What y'all shall say?
Father, glorify thy name.
What the Son of Man say?
Father, glorify thy name.
The King of Kings say?
There came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again."
And with that, we want to give all honor and all glory to Yahweh. Bashima Mashiach, Malachi Mashiach. Call me a shalom.
Call me a shalom.
Call me a shalom. Don't go anywhere. I'm Moorish American. The next brother's going to come up on the scene and edify you in ways I cannot. Shalom.
Trying to holler at y'all, see what's going on. Had a lot on my mind, reminiscing, trying to figure out these things that are going on my mind. Trying to figure out some puzzles. I'm not here to start nothing. I ain't trying to start nothing. Just got some things that I want to get done. Some things that I want to get solved. Some things I want to enlighten myself with. So maybe y'all take a time and to get the opportunity to stop by and listen to my thoughts. Hope so. Very intellectual. So, if you get time, just holler at me. I'm reminiscing all in my room, just trying to figure out a whole lot of things. Until then, y'all have a great day, and thank you for coming in and listening to me. Thanks.